Attention shoppers, we now have taste in the bread aisle. Dave's Killer Bread. That's right, an organic bread that's no longer a snooze for your taste buds. Dave's Killer Bread is on a mission to make the most of the loaf, to rid the world of GMOs, high fructose corn syrup, and artificial ingredients, and plant the seeds of good in all that they bake. Killer taste, killer texture, and always organic. Dave's Killer Bread. Bread amplified.
We all have that friend who wakes up early to go get everyone McDonald's breakfast, while the rest of us sleep in. This is your sign to thank them. And if you're that friend, this is us saying thank you.
Just a friendly reminder that right now, get any size iced coffee before 11 a.m. for just 99 cents. And a satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg is just $2.79. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hey there, I'm Mitchell Shiver, lead pastor at Legacy Church, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. No matter where you are, we want to help you connect to Christ, one another, and God's mission. If you're in the Canton, Marietta, or surrounding areas close to one of our physical locations, I want to invite you to join us in person this Sunday. Most importantly, I want you to know that we're here for you. If there's anything we can do, or you want to know how to take a next step in your faith journey, please let us know by going to lcga.info.
And I'm honored to share the word of God this morning. I am blessed to be here with you. So tell your brother and your sister, don't talk to me for the next hour, because I'm going to worship Jesus. I'm going to exalt his holy name. Just kidding. 50 minutes. Oh, God. You know what? It's amazing as I hear a beautiful crying baby, because that's noise in our house. That you tend to relieve certain things with your child. Now, there's so many toys and games that I didn't grow up with personally, because I ain't around here, if you know what I'm talking about. But my wife, she knows all the you know, Elmo songs and all the games, and I'm just like reliving it with my daughter. And, you know, I never did the whole Barney thing and all little cartoons. You know, I was a Power Ranger kind of kid and Dragon Ball Z, and that was it, you know. But it's amazing how some toys are still there, and they're always in fashion. And one of the toys that my wife was like, look, Scarlett, look at Mr. Potato. I'm like, Mr. Potato? What? But it turns out that this little guy has been around since 1952, which I didn't know this. I don't know what kind of cream he's using. I don't know what kind of doctor he's visiting, but he surely looks good. And one of the things interesting that all the kids like, you know, it comes with little parts. You have different versions. And somehow the kids find a joy just to break him apart. And all of a sudden, put the hand where the ear goes, and put the eye and the glasses. So I would like to know what kind of prayer is Mr. Potato doing. But he surely looks good. He's still there. And now I'm enjoying a little Mr. Potato Head with my daughter, except that I have no idea where his parts are at. They're all scattered around. But, you know, you can always go online and find replacements.
Well, that's
kind of like humans do nowadays. But nowadays, we don't know. But it's amazing. As I was thinking about Mr. Potato, and I was thinking about the church and how we are one. And, you know, as we started a new series last week called Uncommon, that we are an uncommon community. And we talked last week about what makes us different, what marks the church, what sets the church apart. Because we're called to be light in the world. We're called to be salt. We weren't called to lean, but we're called to stand. We're called to go against the current. And God has placed his Holy Spirit for us to be a different, for us to be here in a time like this, to be uncommon. And we talked about the church, how they were a learning church in Acts 2, how they were a loving church, how they were a worshiping church, how they were an evangelistic church. They worshiped through the battles, they worshiped through the tribulations. They were always adding people, they were always burned to share the word of God. They were always eager to learn, they were hungry for more. And that's what marked the church. That's how it started in Acts 2, with the pour out of the Holy Spirit. And you see Peter preaching and 3,000 converting. You go in the Old Testament when God gives Moses the law and he comes down, you know, and they're playing all these games and they're worshiping all the gods, 3,000 people die. But in the New Testament, in the day of the Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit pours out, 3,000 converts. And that's what the word says. The word kills, but the spirit gives life.
Amen.
And that's how he started his church, with the day of Pentecost. And today we're going to continue this series with this question: how can God use me? Earliest kids, we can see our kids growing, and they already come with talents. They already come with abilities that we're like, whoa. Our daughter, she's growing up around all the instruments. Our little living room is like a little mini studio. So she already learned how to turn the keyboard on. She doesn't sing. She screams. And she's just going down at it. And I was, maybe my prayer is being answered, because I do remember when Melly was pregnant, you know, me trying to be all spiritual. We did the whole, her instrumental music in the belly, hopefully that she'll be smarter than us. I'm like, let's throw in a little of, you know, crazy worship so she comes out a little, you know, Pentecostal. And I remember pouring my hand. I said, God, she's going to be better than us. She's going to be the best version. You're going to be prophet amongst the nations. But now when they're growing up and they're, and you're like, wow, they have their own talents. Because the truth is, we all are born with unique qualities and unique talents and unique abilities that are God-given. And as we grow up, we see them. And maybe you see certain things that we have to discover ourselves. And sometimes it takes time to figure out, sometimes years. But it's the same way in the spiritual world. It's the same way when it comes to our faith. That God has given you a purpose, that God has given you a gift, that God has given you a talent, a God-given talent, that you are unique. And today we're going to answer this question, can God use me? Because oh, God knows I've asked this question. Young or old, it doesn't matter your background, it doesn't matter how far you went out of school, we've all asked our question, can God use me? And we've seen throughout the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, how God used different people. And if God is an expert of doing this, using people who are not qualified. God is an expert at using people who are broken so his light can shine out. God is perfect at using imperfect people. You see it in the Old Testament, started with Moses in Exodus 3, when God comes to him in a burning bush, and he gets a little, what's going on? And you guys know the story. But God tells him that he's going to use him. And all of a sudden, Moses kind of starts reminding God who he is. I'm not good enough. I can't do it. He goes to the point that tells him, I'm not a good speaker. I'm slow. I'm hesitant. Don't send me. Send someone else. Throughout the Old Testament, we see how God always used people who were not qualified, who were not good enough, who didn't feel that they could do the task. But God tells him, I am who I am. And he says, who do I tell that send me? The great I am send you. And maybe you felt like you're not qualified. Maybe you've asked yourself this question, how can God use me? And one of the words that blessed me is when God tells Moses, for I will be with you. My presence will be with you. I'm always going to be with you. Don't worry about if you're qualified or you're unqualified. I am going to be with you. And then we see the story of Gideon in Judges 6. If you know the history, once again, Israel goes far away from God. Once again, they abandon everything that God told them to do. And God uses the enemies, the people around them. And the Midianites start invading them, taking their crops, taking their things. And God shows up to Gideon. And the first thing that Gideon says, why are you, if you are God, if you're the same God, why are you allowing this to happen? And I believe in my spirit that God was telling Gideon, because I have a place, I have appointed you in a time like this, Gideon. And he says, I'm from the least of the families. I'm from this tribe. I'm no one. My clan is the weakest. But once again, he says, I am with you. And most of us maybe have seen the movie 300, but we haven't read this story. Let me tell you, Hollywood, doesn't have new ideas. They just copy many things. And the Bible tells us that he lifts up Gideon. He hasn't had the experience. He didn't have the calling. He was unqualified, but he sends him to war. And then God is like, you have too many warriors. And they go through these different tests. You have 300 men now. Oh, people are like, the young kids are like, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. Read your Bible more often. There's some awesome stories there. And he goes and he conquers and defeats the enemies with 300. And something that I love is the fact that the same thing that he told Moses, he tells Gideon, what do you have? Because he told Moses, what do you have? Moses thought that he was simply, he couldn't talk, he couldn't speak. Being in a desert for too long hurt his spirit. If there was someone who needed help with his low esteem, was Moses. If there was someone who didn't believe in himself, was Moses. But he told him, what do you have? He said, oh, I only have my staff because I'm only a sheep pastor. And God is telling you, what do you have? Because whatever you have, he's going to use. Whatever you have, he's going to exalt his holy name. Whatever you have, he's going to use it for great. This is what God does. This is who he is. But one of the stories that touches my life is Nehemiah. If you know this story, he had a great job. He was a cupbearer. He's eating and drinking before the king. He was no prophet. He was no soldier. He was no king. He was no warrior. He was simply a servant to the king. But one day, people commented, he asked, he's eager to say, what is going on with Israel? How are my people? And he just told them the bad news. The people are broken. People are scattered. It's bad news, Nehemiah. They're in trouble. They're in disgrace. As a matter of fact, the walls of Jerusalem are broken down. The gates have been burning. And this cupbearer, unqualified for the task, the Bible says that he felt a burden. That he went down and he just started to cry out. And if I know about being unqualified, I know, trust me. I've asked myself so many times, God, use someone else. Maybe somebody taller, blue eyes, with a redder voice, because my voice is, when I hear myself, oh God, you could have given me a better voice if you wanted to be a preacher. Come on now. If I know about being unqualified, I understand Moses. I understand Gideon. I understand Nehemiah. I remember when I started serving a church. I was back there, flipping through the court. It was PowerPoint back then. You guys have it good. You had to click through every song. And I used to get excited with the worship. And the pastor, Julio, would just turn around. Hey, next song, next song. I used to get into worship and I wouldn't turn on the slide, so I got fired from that. I went into serving with the youth. I did a one. I realized kids are not for me. I did worship. If there is something that there was to do in the church, I did it all. I served in so many places that I can't remember. I was Jesus all the time. People were tired. I think my Guerrero family, like, yeah, we were tired of being Jesus. I was the pastor. I was the Roman soldier. I was a mime. I was doing it all because I wanted to serve God. I was trying to discover my talent. I was trying to discover the gift. I did so many plays. I think I should have been right there with Leonardo DiCaprio trying to win an Oscar. Every play, the worship leader, the youth leader was always, can you do this play? Can we do this play? All I wanted to do was serve God. So I understand what does it mean to be unqualified. But I'm also thankful that we serve a God that doesn't see what the world sees. You see, out there, people see your talents, they see your qualities, they look at your resume, they look at expertise. God only sees your heart. God only sees if you're willing to do it. God only sees if you're willing to believe him. God only sees where is your faith. And I don't know who am I talking to today. But the Lord says, don't underestimate your gift. So don't underestimate what God has given you. Because with the little, he can do much. With your little faith, he can do great things. I knew about underestimating. Because everything that we do it for his glory. 1 Corinthians 12:4-6 says, there are different kinds of gifts. but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but it's the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, in everyone, it's the same God at work. Everyone has been blessed with a gift. The devil is a liar. He doesn't want you to discover what God has created you for. You've been created with a gift. You've been created a perfect being in His eyes. If you keep reading from there, you see that God has given different gifts. Pastors and preachers don't want to talk about the gifts of the Holy Spirit anymore because they're too get into the whole doctrine and is the gifts for today or not the gifts for today. I'm a simple preacher who believes in the Word of God. I'm a simple young kid who believes that God is the same God from yesterday, from today, and forever. And God has put a burden in my heart to remind the church that He is the same God, that the Holy Spirit works in the same way, that the same fire from the Old Testament is the same fire for the New Testament. You look at the gift of wisdom, you look at the gift of knowledge, the gift of faith, healing, miracles, discerning of spirits, speaking in other tongues and discerning other tongues. These gifts are for the church. He is the same God of yesterday, of today. These gifts are for us today. And if there is something that the church is lacking, are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Too much word, too much theology, but no power. Too much words, too many professionals, but no power of the Holy Spirit. Because there are too many people who are qualified. But God is looking for an unqualified person today. Willing, if you are only willing to trust in Him. There's only one source and all the gifts come from God. Everything comes from Him and everything goes back to Him. That's what I love what James 1:7 says, that every good gift comes from the Father of lights. Everything comes from Him. So don't you ever try to take His glory. All the gifts that we have go back to Him. Paul tries to remind him, look, yeah, we all have different gifts. We all have different backgrounds. We all have different talents, but we're one. There's only one God. And he takes it to an analogy of the body. If he could have used Mr. Potato, but he told them 1 Corinthians 12:14, just as a body, the one has many parts, but always many parts for one body. So it is with Christ. So we're all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body. Whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, we were all given one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. We are all one in Christ. The world tends to segregate itself by color, by race, by background, by status. But what the Bible is saying, whether you're young or old, any race, any background, we are one with one purpose, to worship Him, to give Him all the glory. That's what the Bible says. When you love each other, you show that the love of God is in you. Because the world is always trying to divide itself. So much that churches have divided themselves. We believe in this, we believe in that. We believe in songs. We don't believe in instruments. We believe in the tongues. We don't believe in the tongues. The Bible says it's one God. When Jesus comes for His church, He's going to come for one church. At the cross, He died for one church. In Acts 2, He established one church. We are one church, saved by one God. We've all been saved by the same blood of Jesus Christ. He reminds in John 15:5, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I'm in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. See, without Him, we have nothing to give. Even the talents that we have. Without Him, there's just talents. Without Him, there's just empty words. There's just empty music, empty instruments. But with Him, things change to turn around. I truly believe that there is no great man or great woman of God. I believe that there is a weak man, weak women with a great God. I believe that there is imperfect people with weaknesses, but with a perfect God, with a strong God. That's why we always have to point people out to Him and remind people that we are going to fail, some more than others. But the beautiful thing is, like, I don't represent me. I am not talking about me with my faults and my weaknesses. I am only talking about him. So you can experience him. So he can do great things in you. So you can glorify him. Without him, we can't do anything. God specializes in revealing his power through people who appear weak and fragile. I love in 2 Corinthians 4:6 when he says that we have a treasure in fragile jars. You and I are fragile. You and I maybe have been broken. Maybe there are scars. But if there is something that God loves to do, it's to put his treasure. And he's not looking for a perfect vase, for a perfect base. He's looking for a broken person who is willing to do great. He's looking for a perfect vessel who is willing to believe. He's looking for a perfect vessel who is willing to shine bright today. I love how the kingdom is different to the world. Because I know otherwise I wouldn't be fit. So how many times I've asked myself if I'm worthy to be an altar? I've been told that my preachers are not good enough. I've been told that I don't deserve an altar. But Jesus said, and what he said comes true. But you have to believe what Gabor says. You have to believe and continue on his promises. There will be people who bring you down. There will be people who question your gifts, who question your talents. But people don't call people. God calls people. People don't prepare people. God prepares people. He is the one who qualifies. He is the one who prepares. He is the one who sends. And I don't know who am I talking today to, but I want to tell you today, we all have a gift. You have a gift. Verse of Corinthians 12:4 says, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are things that only you can do. There are certain things in your area in your life that come easy to you. There are certain things that you say, I feel like a fish in the water. You don't have to think of it much. You don't have to. It just comes easy to you. And that's where your gift starts. Can you imagine for a second, if we were all preachers, there'll be nobody out there in the door. There'll be nobody praying. There'll be nobody singing. Can you imagine if we were all singers? God knows that if you give me the gift of singing, I'll be a one-man show. I'll be preaching all the time. I'll be amazing grace. We don't need anybody. But he distributes the gifts. That everybody has a gift here today. You see, when you think about the gospel and the kingdom, and a lot of times we think that the only gifts are about preaching, singing, or serving here and there. But our gifts are distributed and our gifts impact people outside of these four walls. And the truth is, your coworker, the people where you're at, the people at the gym, they don't care about the Hebrew, about the Greek, about the doctrine of your confidence. They don't care about the end of times, your position. They don't care about eschatologists. They only care about how you carry, who you preach. They only care about when you walk in the room, the atmosphere changes. Because he who is with you is greater than the one who is in the world. They only care that when you come, you show that there is joy, that there is peace, that there is love. Because let me remind you, church, if there is something that the church, that the world needs to be reminded of, is that there is a name for hope, is that there is a name for joy, is that there is a name for love, and that name is Jesus, that he's the same of yesterday, the same of today. There is people in need. There is people in church, outside of church, suffering with anxiety, suffering with depression. And I've been put a burden in my heart to remind the people, we have a great physician. You don't need pills. You don't need doctors. You need Jesus. You need to believe that he can heal you. You need to believe that he is powerful, that he is mighty. And then, of course, if you need treatment, yes, of course. But let God do his work first. Because whatever the medicine ends is where God begins. Whatever the doctor says is impossible, God says it is possible. And we need to be reminded that He's still the same of yesterday, the same God of miracles. We sing it, we preach it, but we don't act upon it. We're all made unique in the body. Not everyone is the same, but everyone is needed. There's an article online that you can go and see, and apparently there are 7 organs that we can live without. Now, I'm good with all my organs. But apparently there are 7 organs that we have that we could actually live without. And if you're interested, spleen, the stomach, the reproductive organs, the colon, the gallbladder, the appendix, the kidneys. We are such an amazing body, our creator, that there are certain organs that can just take it out and you can live without. But there are certain gifts that the church cannot live without. You see, he is the head. But just like Mr. Potato, the church is built. The body is built of you and me, of people, imperfect people with different gifts. And it doesn't matter whether you're the toe or you're the ear. What matters is that we're part of the body. And that's what 1 Corinthians 12, 15-20 says. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, wouldn't that for that reason stop being part of the body? And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? Even if the whole body were an ear, what would the sense of the smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they're all one part, what would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. I remember a long time ago, well, I was in the worship team in the Spanish ministry. We used to practice on Thursdays. God knows we needed to practice. And there was a sister here every Thursday. This is before COVID. Some of you might remember. But she found joy in her way of worshiping God is to put an envelope behind every chair and a pencil. And I know she knows who she is. And I remember I came one Thursday and there was worship music here. And it was a little dark. At first I was like, what's going on? But there she was worshiping God, worshiping Jesus. Putting an envelope and putting a pen behind every chair. Many of the visitors, many of the people who came to church back then, when we had the envelopes and the pencils, probably didn't even know who was doing that. Well, they didn't even know who was the sister who took an hour and a half to serve her King Jesus in her own way. Don't underestimate your gift for your talent. Don't underestimate your service for God. And that ministered to me because you see, we're beings that we want to see, we want to be seen, and sometimes we want recognition. But the beautiful thing that in the eyes of God, there is no greater or lower servant. The one who preaches is just alike as the one who sweeps, as the one who is at the door. There is no greater person in the eyes of God, because in the eyes of God, we're all one body with one purpose. And I love the fact that of the people that we can see, because in order for this to work, there's people behind the scenes that are worshiping God doing their work, that are worshiping God doing their little things, but that God is doing it great for the glory and the kingdom. Regardless of what you do, whether it's open the door, whether it's praying, whether it's whatever it is, you're impacting the kingdom. You're doing something for God. And that has stood up with me for the longest. Ministers me, reminds me that we don't have to be seen to worship Jesus. We don't have to be seen to give him all the glory and all the honor. We don't have to be accepted by society as long as we're accepted by him. We don't have to worry if our names are written in the books of men, because as long as our names are written in the book of life, that's all that it matters. And we're also in a society that cares about titles and positions and names. And at the end of the day, Paul says, all that is trash. I put it in the ground for the knowledge of Jesus. All this that I knew, Paul says, my doctrines and my knowledge, I put it to the ground just so I can get to know Jesus. We are one body. Our gifts are for the purpose of maturing the church. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the body joined and held together by every supporting ligament grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Every gift, every talent is for two purposes. To give him glory, to give him honor, to serve God, to serve the people. You were created with something unique. And I came this morning to stir you up, to remind you not to underestimate what you can do for God. To remind you that whatever it is that you can do for him, trust me, he will bless you. He'll give you something in return. Peter says, what about us that we've left everything? Oh, I tell you, Peter, not only am I going to write your name in the kingdom, but I'll bless you 100-fold. And I want to end with this. Matthew 21, the Bible says that Jesus tells his disciples to go and pick up a donkey. The Bible doesn't tell us whose donkey it is. We don't know what kind of year this donkey is. We don't know how many donkey power the donkey has. If I can get my sister Jean in the piano, that would be great. But Jesus just tells them, go get this donkey. And he says, if they ask, what are you doing with the donkey? He says, the Lord needs it. We see all these people in the Bible. And some people give money. Some people give their talents. Some people give their ideas. We don't know the name of this person. All we know is that Jesus needed his donkey. He didn't think twice about it. He gave Jesus his donkey. Now, the story tells that the donkey has never been used. So it's a brand new 0 miles donkey. Now, can you imagine buying a brand new car and all of a sudden Carter says, can I borrow your car? I'm going to take it to Florida, baby. I'm going to go preach to the beach. Yeah, I haven't even unpackaged it. But God tells him, go. And the owner of the donkey simply says, okay, I don't know what kind of revelation, I don't know what kind of theology, I don't know if he worshiped Jesus or he didn't. I don't know how many times he went to church, but he was asked by Jesus to let him borrow his donkey. And I don't know what your donkey is. And I'm not saying who your donkey is. I'm not saying what your donkey is, what service you can do for God. But I do want to tell you this. I don't want to say that the donkey was, you know, he was used to entering Great Jerusalem with the king sitting on top. And I'm not telling you that when the donkey came back, he went to Harvard and, you know, he was a special donkey. He would continue to be a donkey. But he was a donkey that carried the King of Kings and Lords of Lords. History tells us that great men used stallions. We could have thought Jesus could have walked into Jerusalem with a nice black stallion. Maybe a white one because, you know, it's Jesus and he's holy. And I told God, you could have used stallions. But he chooses to use donkeys. Don't underestimate what God can do in you and through you. And today I want to pray for gifts. I want to pray for your calling. I want to pray for your talents. And before I do, I want to remind you something. Noah was a drunk. Abraham was old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Miriam was a gossiper. Jacob was a liar. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses was a stirring criminal. Sarah was impatient. Gideon wasn't secure. Thomas doubted. Samson was promiscuous. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah was depressed. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Elijah, well, he was a suicidal. Isaiah will preach naked. Jonah, he ran from God. Naomi, she was a widow. Job went bankrupt. John the Baptist, well, he ate bugs. Peter denied Christ and had a temper. The disciples fell asleep while he was praying. Martha, she was a warrior. The Samaritan woman, well, she had multiple divorces. Zacchaeus, he was greedy. Paul was overly zealous. Timothy was young and had an ulcer. Lazarus was dead. And if he used these people, he can use you today. If he can use these kind of people, he is looking for an unqualified person. He's looking for an imperfect person. He's looking for a weak person so he can majesty his name up. So he can give him all the glory and all the honor. So if you can stand up today, whatever is the Holy Spirit putting in your heart, whatever your talent is, whatever your gift is, I want you to raise your hand and pray with me. Because by the power of the Holy Spirit, everything that we do for his glory, for his honor. Heavenly Father, we come to you, O God, humble in spirit, to give you all the honor and all the worship, to thank you, Lord, for choosing the unqualified, to thank you for choosing the low, for choosing the weak, to make your name great. I bless all the talents and all the gifts represented in this church. I bless every person in this place, from the youngest to the oldest, with your purpose, with your calling. For you to remind them, God, that they're a part of the body and that the church needs them. That we all need each other, that we are one in Christ, that we are one body, that we have one purpose, and it's to serve others and to worship God and to give him all the honor and all the glory. And I pray in the name of Jesus, for the Holy Spirit to start revealing everybody's gifts and talents. For you to fulfill us with your purpose. For you to put a burning in us. To go out there and preach the gospel. To be light in the world. To be the salt of the earth. I bless all these talents, oh God. Don't let us underestimate what you can do with the little. You turn it into much. We give you all the honor and all the glory. We exalt your holy name. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your love. Thank you for choosing us, because the word says you didn't choose us. We give you all the honor and all the glory that only you deserve. In the name that is above name, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.